This is Digital Story Podcast number 867, November 1st, 2022. Today's theme is announcing the 2023 TDS Photography Workshop season. I'm Derek Story. From the red rocks of Sedona to the rugged shoreline of Point Reyes, the 2023 TDS Workshop season includes new online and in-person events. And I will share all of them with you today. Plus, the two biggest complaints about the new OM System OM5 mirrorless camera, and two favorite things about Mac OS Ventura. I hope you enjoy the show. It feels great to be back in full swing with the workshops. The online events are running very smoothly, and I have an exciting new slate of online events for 2023. And I have a lot more confidence in planning our physical, our in-person events as well. You add this all up and you get a great-looking 2023 season that I think will have something to tempt just about any enthusiast photographer. Now, that slate is online right now at thenimblephotographer.com. But I'm going to go over the workshops with you right now just so that you have a feel for what's going on in 2023. Hopefully, one or two of them will tempt you into participating and joining us, which I would thoroughly love. All right, let's get right to it. Let's talk about what we have on tap for 2023. And I'm actually going to start with the end of 2022 because I'm squeezing in one workshop at the end of the year, and you'll figure out why here in a second. At the end of November and beginning of December of this year, 2022, I'm going to do the first inkjet printing workshop for photographers. And this is an online event. So we're going to do what I've been talking about for some time, an inkjet printing workshop. Now, the reason why I want to squeeze this in at the end of this year is because we're going to do projects during this four-week workshop. We're going to do projects during it. And those projects, coincidentally, will make great holiday gifts. That's right. So I want you to be able to have really beautiful prints or fine art greeting cards or, you know, whatever it is that you want to make. I want you to have those in time for the holidays. So I thought, let's squeeze one in at the end of this year. And then that way, when you do your projects, you can do your projects with the holidays in mind. This is going to be a lot of fun. Now, I'm also going to do the same workshop in November/December 2023. We're going to do two of them. So we're going to do one that starts in November of this year, and we're going to do one that starts in November of 2023. Two of those. Now, if they sell out really fast, I might add a third one as well. I just want to see how things are going. I've never offered this workshop before. There's been a lot of buzz around it, but you never know until people actually sign up if they're truly interested or not. I mean, it's one thing to be conceptually interested in a workshop. It's another thing to, you know, give me, you know, your credit card for a workshop. Those two different things. So if these things sell out, I probably will add a third one. So if you miss it, don't despair. Just cross your fingers. All right. So that's the first online workshop. And then we're going to follow that online workshop up with another online event in February. And that's going to be Maximizing Your Micro Four Thirds Camera, an online workshop. Had a lot of requests for this one as well. Now, in part, it's because of the new, well, semi-new, because the real new camera now is the OM5, but the OM1 is what really kind of, I think, prompted people to request this workshop, although we're not going to just focus on the OM1. This is going to be for all Micro Four Thirds shooters. So if you have an older camera such as the Pen-F or the EM1 Mark II, you know, it will work for you as well. And what we want to do is, you know, tap all those features that are in the menu system that maybe you haven't found yet, or maybe you found but you don't know how to use. You know, we're going to get to all that kind of stuff. And then we're really going to explore how to use that Micro Four Thirds sensor to your advantage, right? It's a little bit smaller than full frame, obviously. We know that. So sometimes that works for you, and then sometimes it presents challenges compared to a full frame. So we're going to get into all that stuff too. We're going to talk about lenses, and I have some great lens recommendations depending on what kind of photography you're interested in. I mean, there's just a wealth of stuff to cover in this workshop. I'm very excited about it. That's going to happen in February of 2023. By the way, I have dates set for all of these. So when you go to the workshops page on thenimblephotographer.com, you'll be able to see the actual dates for all of these. And the way the online events work is the first date is, you know, the day that we start, and it's on a Wednesday, and then we do every Wednesday for the duration of the workshop, usually four classes in a workshop. So it'll be Wednesday, 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 like that. Alrighty. Coming up then in April, we're going to do one of our crowd favorites. This workshop always sells out. It's the Ultimate Black and White Photography Online Workshop. And that's going to be in April of 2023. What's cool about that workshop is that we cover black and white photography techniques, both shooting, processing. We also cover black and white infrared. And then in the 2023 sessions, I'm going to try to get some film photography in there as well. So I think this is going to be really fun. I'm going to kind of, you know, switch it up a little bit. We've had really successful ones in the past. We've done this workshop a number of times, but I'm going to try to get film photography in there as well. I just have to figure out exactly how to do it, because I don't want to require folks to have a film camera in order to take the workshop, right? That wouldn't be fun. So I'm still kind of working out the logistics of this, but I'm very interested in, and I've got some great techniques for black and white film photography as well. I'll get it sorted out by the time the workshop gets here. I promise you. We're going to talk about really great post-processing apps for black and white. We're going to talk about how to set up your camera for great black and white photography, the best subjects for black and white photography, best time of day for black and white photography, the best lenses, all that stuff. Black and white photography is so compelling when it's well executed, and this would be a wonderful skill to add to your already fabulous skill set that I'm sure you are employing on a daily basis. All right, so that's in April. Then in May, we have our first in-person physical photography workshop, and that's going to be at Point Reyes, California. Point Reyes is a national seashore, and it is tremendous. And the thing that I really like about Point Reyes is that it has so many different environments in one area. So we have the seashore itself, right? You know, which is a beautiful rugged coastline, all that good stuff. There's a Point Reyes lighthouse, which is, you know, always a good thing to have a lighthouse in there. But then we get into the landscape that's before the seashore, because, the National Seashore isn't just on the shore. It's acres and acres and acres prior to the shoreline as well. And there's some diverse and very interesting areas in there. And then we have around Point Reyes, we have other things such as Tomales Bay and some areas that are just fantastic. And they're all within a stone's throw of the visitor center at Point Reyes National Seashore. So there is a lot going on there. We have tule elk. We have a herd of tule elk there. That's very interesting. And there's lots of wildlife and a lot of birds. I mean, oh my gosh, another place where you can just go crazy. Good weather, good food. I mean, we're in the heart of Northern California, so good food, good wine, good beer, all that as well. That's going to happen in May of 2023, 4-day workshop, and it's going to be tremendous. Then in July, we come back to an online workshop. We're going to do the Infrared Photography Online Workshop. Probably our most popular online workshop. It and the black and white are the two that are, you know, sort of at the top of the heap. At least they have been in the past. We'll see what happens with some of these new workshops. But we're going to do infrared in July. July is a great time to do it because the beautiful thing about infrared photography is it likes it when regular photography, when regular visible light photography doesn't like it outside. Infrared photography excels when it's bright and contrasty and hot and all that kind of stuff. July is the month to do it. It's a great month for this workshop. We're going to get into all the techniques, all the conversions. Can you use your regular camera? The answer is yes. If so, how? What kind of software should you be using? The whole enchilada, both black and white and color infrared photography. This is a fun workshop, and we've had people take it more than once, and they were just as thrilled the second time through as they were the first. Infrared is happening in July. Then in October, another in-person workshop. This one's a biggie. We're going to Sedona, Arizona, and surrounding areas. And there is a lot in northern Arizona. There's so much. My brother lives in Flagstaff. I have boots in the ground in the entire area there. And he helped me pick the time of year to go and lots of suggestions as to what to visit. I've been to Sedona myself a number of times, and Flagstaff and Jerome and all those areas. I'm going to put together a beautiful 4 days where not only do you get to photograph the Red Rock scenery of Sedona, but areas around Sedona too. And so I hope to get, we're trying to time it so that we get optimum fall color. There's some fantastic fall color. Oak Creek Canyon, for example, a lot of areas that have beautiful fall color that time of year. We're going to try to get as much in as we can in this 4-day workshop. It's going to be fun. Hopefully we hit the weather just right, because you know, once it turns, especially when you get up near Flagstaff, once it turns in late October, then it starts to get pretty chilly. Snow starts to come on the ground. We're going to try to hit it where we got color, but not quite snow yet. That is going to be in October 2023. And by the way, the physical workshops are limited to 8 people. We like that very close, cohesive environment, you know, where, you know, we have me and we have 8 of you and we are one group. And that one group feeling is a really good feeling on the physical workshops. There's going to be lots of good food. It's going to be good times all the way around October 2023. And then in November, so just right on the heels of Sedona, we're going to do Wine Country in Autumn in-person photography workshop. And that is going to be a Sonoma County workshop. And again, I've been paying close attention to when the vineyards change colors. You know, hopefully we'll get it. I can never promise color because you never know what's going to happen from one year to the next. But it's not just that. It's not just scenery. We are going to go wine tasting. We are going to talk to people who know a lot about wines. We're going to get behind the scenes at some wineries. This is going to be an immersive experience where you learn not only how to photograph this landscape and the elements of winemaking, but we're actually going to talk to people who make the wine. We're going to taste the wine. We're going to learn about all the different wines. If you've never had a lot of confidence in knowing the difference between a Pinot Noir and a Zin, you know, all that kind of stuff, yes, we're covering all of that. So this is going to be fun for wine tasting, for learning about wine, for eating the great food that goes with wine, and of course, lots of photography too. There's so much to photograph in this area. It's very diverse, a lot of different things. And I think folks are really going to enjoy. This is going to be one of those workshops where you come and you relax, right? You're still going to be taking a lot of pictures, but it's just going to have that relaxed vibe to it. Wine Country in Autumn in Sonoma County, and that's going to be November 2023. Now, a couple notes about the workshops in general. Unlike just about everything else on the planet right now, I did not raise the rates for 2023. I held the prices to 2022 prices, 2021 prices, that kind of thing. So no rate increases on the workshop. So there's still going to be an outstanding value. And that's one thing that people comment all the time when they come to my workshops. They go, this thing is a great value. We get so much for our money. We have so much enjoyment for the money, and I can actually afford to do this, and I don't have buyer's remorse or not worrying about, you know, what's hitting my credit card. I can just have a good time and enjoy my fellow photographers and enjoy taking pictures and enjoy hanging out with you and enjoying all the good food and all that good stuff. So we've held the prices, and then even better, if you're an Inner Circle member, then you get a 10% discount on any workshop in 2023, online or physical. And you can do the math on physical, that comes out pretty favorable for Inner Circle members. So Inner Circle members get a 10% discount on all the workshops, and we've held the prices for 2023 on all the workshops. And we've got what I think is a very good slate of events. I hope you're going to join us. There's going to be more about this. I just wanted to give you an introduction to the workshop season right now. And again, you can reserve your spot right now. You can learn about them. I'm going to be adding more information to all the workshops. I just wanted to get the pages up for this podcast. But you can go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, and check it out. This is going to be a great 2023. The two biggest complaints about the new OM System OM5 camera. This has been very interesting. Those of you that are newsletter readers of mine, you know, I have the Substack newsletter that comes out every Thursday. Last week's newsletter, I covered the OM5. It was all dedicated to the release of the OM5. It had all the information about it. And I think it's a pretty exciting camera. It's, you know, mid-level in the lineup. Right. So it's not, you know, the entry level Micro Four Thirds, and it's not the OM1. It's kind of right in the middle. And what OM System did was they packed a lot of the advanced features, especially the computational photography features from the OM1 into the OM5. And they made it, you know, weather sealed. So it's a very rugged camera. It can be out in the rain, all that kind of stuff. And it's very compact. So they made a compact, rugged, weather-resistant camera with a lot of computational photography stuff crammed in there. And when I first looked at the specs, I was going, I am pretty impressive. Let me just give you a sample of some of the specifications. So it has, as I said, the advanced features such as high-res shot, live ND, and it has the composite modes. Has 121 point all cross type phase detect AF, all weather construction, 30 frames per second shooting, ISO from 200 to 25,600, and a 20.4 megapixel live MOS Micro Four Thirds sensor. So, I mean, there's a lot of brains in this thing. However, what it looks like OM System did was use some of the hardware from the EM5, the previous EM5, and ported that or used that as the foundation for this new camera. And there are two areas that seem to have really irked OM System fans about this new OM5. So the first one is that they're using a micro USB port instead of the USB-C port for connectivity and in-camera charging. That's right. So instead of, you know, what we have on the OM1, which is a USB-C port, which is a great port, you know, charges the camera quickly, all that kind of stuff. And it's a very robust port too, USB-C. That's one of the things I like about it, or at least it has been for me. They use the micro USB port, which I'll be honest with you, not very many people like micro USB, myself included. So that has annoyed many potential buyers of the OM5. The second thing that happened that's really annoying people is that they did not update the menu system for the OM5. So on the OM1, we've got this new, fresh, the paint's still wet menu system that is, quite frankly, quite attractive and easier to use. So we have that on the OM1, but they did not give us that new look menu system for the OM5. And that has irritated folks as well. And you just see it over and over again in the comments. I have it in the comments on my newsletter. You see it in reviews. There are some other things that, you know, people, you know, might be quibbling about, but these two things I see in almost every comment or review about this camera. And, you know, it's funny. It's interesting to me how important the basics are in any design, car design, camera design, whatever it happens to be. Because with this camera, you get a lot of really cool stuff. You get live ND and computational photography functions and all that good stuff. But if you overlook the simple things like the ports and the menu system, it almost doesn't make any difference what the high-tech stuff is you have in there to a lot of users. So there's been a fascinating study for me to be reading the comments from our own community, from reviewers, and from outside our community about the OM5. It's a great camera. Almost every review, at the end of the review, they go, this is a great camera that you can take anywhere. It's rugged, it's compact, it takes great pictures, it has a lot of features. However, in the nits, right, in the cons, these two things show up, the micro USB port and the older menu system, two things that OM system users are annoyed about with this camera. I've alluded to the new Nimble Photographer weekly newsletter a number of times over the last few podcasts. I'm going to allude to it again, mainly because last week was a perfect example of why I had this newsletter. So the embargo on the new OM5, the OM system OM5, was for me Tuesday night, Wednesday morning at some hour, whatever. It was at some weird hour that was after the podcast. So I either could not include it in the podcast or delay the podcast to include that information, which people do not like it when I do that. So that's like never an option. Or wait till the next week to announce it. And that just seemed too long. The newsletter, because it comes out on Thursday, and in this case, I was able to release it on Wednesday after the embargo was lifted. Then I was able to cover this story for folks in our community who, you know, are, you know, very active in our community. And I didn't violate the embargo and I didn't compromise the podcast. So it just worked out really well. And that's why I like this newsletter. It gives me that second option, not only for breaking stories, you know, depending on when the story breaks, I've got, you know, two different opportunities to cover it, but then also for doing the other stuff that I like to do, like, you know, get into the nitty gritty of workshop stuff as new things come up, or share an essay that I wrote about photography. I just have all these different options. It's a free newsletter. All you have to do is just go to the show notes, these show notes for this podcast, and you can sign up. All you have to do is type your email in there. You can subscribe. It doesn't cost you anything. And it really, between the newsletter and the podcast, and then whatever you follow on social with us, you're covered. You'll be covered with those things. And I highly recommend the Nimble Photographer newsletter. Comes out every Thursday or when a story breaks. My two favorite photography features in Mac OS Ventura. All right, so I talked about the two things that are annoying people with the OM5, right? Mac OS Ventura also just came out. I mean, this has been a crazy busy time with all this stuff going on. And I have a couple things that I really like in this release. Right after Ventura was released, I was able to record a title for LinkedIn. So I'm covering a lot of the stuff and Hopefully they're working on my title right now, but you never know what's happening in production at LinkedIn. I'm sure I'm in the queue somewhere, and I'll let you know when it's out, because there was a lot of fun stuff to talk about. So I had to do all the research, of course, and practice all the features and all that stuff. And there were two things that really stood out photography-wise for macOS Ventura. And there were about 10 things that I liked, but two things I really liked. The first one is it has duplicates management, and it's so well implemented. So we've wanted this for a long time because, you know, pictures come into our photo library from all sorts of different angles. The original camera shot, but then we do stuff with it. Maybe we import it back in, or we merge something, you know, we merge libraries. All this stuff happens and we end up with duplicates. And I was really surprised at how many duplicates I had in my photos library, because I kind of manage these things pretty well, I thought. Apparently not as well as I thought, but I felt like I do. And it just finds them for you. It just creates a new album, on the left side there, of duplicates, and you can just go through, just scroll through them and, you know, view them. And if you want, you can merge them. And what it does is it uses a little bit of AI, right? A little bit of machine learning and such. And it picks the best version, right, of the duplicates. So if you've got two or three or whatever, it'll pick the best one based on a number of criteria. And then it'll put the other two in recently deleted. So you'll keep one, and then the other one's going to recently deleted. They stay in recently deleted for 29 days. It'll tell you 29 days left, so I guess it's 30. So you can always go back and retrieve if you have second thoughts about this. But you have the best one saved, and then the excess goes into recently deleted. You can delete them right away if you want from recently deleted, or you can just let the clock run out on them, either way. But it's amazing how much you can prune out of your library by just, you know, getting rid of these duplicates. Some of them are no-brainers. Like, for instance, if you have one at master resolution, let's say 20 megapixels, and then there's a version of it that's, you know, like 2,000 pixels wide, you know, just a much smaller version, then it's pretty easy. You keep the big one, throw away the small one, and, you know, end of the day. So I love the way they implemented the duplicates management in Photos. This is Photos that comes with macOS Ventura. The second thing they have is just fun. It's, you know, we get a lot of this AI masking now, whether it's in On One or with Lightroom and many different apps. And Photos hasn't gone that far, but they've given us this one thing that's kind of a trip, which allows us to lift a subject from the background. In other words, the application uses AI to recognize the subject. And of course, there's all sorts of stuff going on under the hoods in Photos. It identifies the subject, and then if you use the command, it'll outline what is determining as the subject in kind of this cool neon white outline that's very active and sort of mesmerizing, to be honest with you. And then you can just lift that subject. You're not pulling it out of the image. You're just copying it to the clipboard. And then you can paste it all sorts of places. You can paste it in messages or in notes or, you know, whatever you want to do. You can paste it all throughout the system. And it does it really well. I mean, I'm pretty impressed. I did a number of them with hair and things like that. And I thought the lift was pretty good. So that is built in to Photos that comes with macOS Ventura. And there's lots of other stuff. They have a new version of shared libraries. You have the ability to lock images that go into either deleted or into your hidden folder. Like if you want to hide an image from your library, now it can be password protected, those hidden images, so people can't go in there and snoop around. So there's a lot of little things like that too, but these two, the duplicates management and lift subject from background, are two pretty cool features. And just real quick, does your computer qualify for macOS Ventura? basically, if it's 2017 or newer, it will. I'm just going to run down the list real quick. If you have an iMac, 2017 or later, iMac Pro, same thing. MacBook Air has to be 2018 or later. MacBook Pro, 2017 or later. Mac Pro, 2019 or later. Mac Studio, 2022 or later. Mac Mini, 2018 or later. And a regular MacBook, 2017 or later. All those machines can run macOS Ventura. I have it running on a 2017 iMac, and it runs great on there. It runs great on there. So I haven't had any noticeable problems yet. I'm sure there'll be a little hiccup here or there at some point when I start digging into some different applications or into some of the drivers. But as of now, I'm recording this podcast using, you know, my normal tools. In fact, I've upgraded the mic again, and it's running on Ventura, and everything's working fine with audio, as is my photos and all that stuff. So anyway, macOS Ventura, so far, off to a pretty good start. All right, let's take care of a little Virtual Camera Club news. I want to thank our Inner Circle members for their support month in and month out. And this is when they start to get, you know, some rewards for their support with the workshop season announced, and they get those discounts. We also have a very nice online community for our Inner Circle members where they can share photos, ideas, ask questions, all that good stuff. It's really a wonderful value, and just something that's rare these days to be able to have a community that's so positive without any, you know, negative influences, you know, putting pressure on it. If you want to become an Inner Circle member and help support this community and participate in this community, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. Take a look around, and hopefully you will join us and take advantage of some of those perks. And finally, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. They are going to be helping us with the online printing workshops. I'm very excited. I'm working on some goodies from Red River Paper for workshop participants. And, you know, it's just great to have them involved in these sort of things. And that's the kind of company they are. They have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. Click on there. You can nose around. You can obviously get all sorts of different types of paper, some of which we will be using in our workshop. But they also have the stuff that goes with it, like the envelopes and the glassine sleeves. Lots of knowledge on that site to help you with your projects. And of course, even ink for Epson and Canon printers. And they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. A big thanks to them for supporting this community. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm very excited about our new workshop season, and I hope to see you at one of these workshops, whether it be online or in person. Until next week, we got more good stuff coming down the pike. Stay safe, be creative, keep taking pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.